Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello. Hi, Tim. It does make sense that green means you're safe to talk, but it also kind of makes me think, because green should be, it's on.
Green go, red green, stop.
Exactly.
The reason there's a red light in the studio when the microphones go up is it means danger, JB, watch what you say. Right, hands in, pod on three. One, two, three,
pod!
This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast with the usual numpties who just love the game of rugby, don't take it or ourselves too seriously. I'm Tim, JB is there.
Good day, Tim.
And that's Phil.
Hi, Tim.
One-armed Phil, he's got his left arm in a sling. That's a pretty fancy sling, that, Phil.
It's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's worth customising something you're going to use a lot.
Phil's had a shoulder operation in, what, 3 days ago, was it?
2 days ago, Friday morning, first thing Friday morning.
What are you like when you come round from general anaesthetic?
I was very, very groggy. I don't think I said anything too embarrassing. I think I was pretty quiet, but I didn't feel very good for at least a few hours.
Oh, dear.
Which gave me a good excuse to basically watch a lot of rugby over the past few days.
Oh, nice.
On Friday afternoon, I woke up and watched the highlights of the Sevens, ooh, the replay of the Chiefs-Brumbies game, the Bulls versus the Hurricanes game.
And that was
then,
a good game.
And then Newcastle versus Wasps.
Oh, wish I was a body wreck as well.
not too bad.
Sounds good. I had a guy that, I think he's one of the coaches at Rotherham still, but a guy I used to play rugby with, he had a bunch of shoulder operations. And he used to come around. He used to have to be physically restrained before he came around because it was on his notes that he got very punchy when he when he came around from general anaesthetic.
No, that's not my style.
Don't know what I'd be like.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think
he gets very talkative when he comes around.
Best to restrain you, Jay.
Yes, definitely. Right, speaking of getting punchy, Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather are going to have one of the biggest sporting events ever when the two of them fight in May. The fight is definitely on.
Isn't this like 3 years too late?
Yeah, how old are they now? They're both like 38, something like that.
I'm not sure that I'm that bothered.
It's massive amounts of money been changing hands for this one. Huge purse for Floyd Mayweather. That means money. If you're not into the boxing vernacular, they don't just get a handbag. And also, there's a bit of a showdown happening in rugby league with St Helens and the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Are we denied in rugby union of a big blockbuster showdown? What would be, if like a fantasy showdown, if you could make it happen at a click of a fingers, what would it be?
Deadlift contest, Andy Powell versus James Haskell. Hey, you want to see that? I want to see it.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's quite a good idea, actually, doing like some strongman events.
There used to be a show on American TV called like Sports Stars or something, and they'd get athletes from different sports to do things like 100 metres.
They had it in Britain because it's when, what's his name? The former Newcastle United manager.
Oh, Kevin Keegan. He fell off a bike on a running track. This was in like the 80s or something like that.
Yeah. We should bring that back.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be good.
That would be really cool. But isn't that the whole principle of this? What's that? Cross training.
CrossFit. Oh, you're so
isn't
CrossFit.
Isn't that one of the principles of CrossFit that it kind of means that whatever your strength or weakness or whatever you're better at, if you're a strength man or a speed man, it sort of evens it out.
It balances out so you can compete.
I want to see rugby players doing CrossFit. So, you know, Kean Healy would bash out the deadlifts, but then he'd really struggle at the muscle ups and stuff.
Muscle ups.
They do that, do they?
Yeah.
Ooh. I just thought it was
that'd
good
be
to
really
watch
good
girls.
To see.
Yeah, it would be good. But in terms of games,
yeah,
because like, Toulon played, was it the Sharks? They played one of the South African teams recently.
in a friendly. There's no such thing as a friendly, really, but
But because it's a friendly and nothing's
at
stake.
It's a friendly until the last 10 minutes.
Also, partway through the Toulon season, it's right at the start of the Sharks season, so it's they're completely different stages. So it would have been good to have, like an actual title for it.
Mm.
Well, how long will it be before we get a Super Rugby versus European Cup winner?
Not sure we will, but apparently the more likely scenario is South African teams playing European teams. They've been talking about this for ages.
But having a competition that includes the European teams and the South African teams?
Yes.
Because they're the same time zone.
Yes, a European-South Africa Cup.
Listen, while we mentioned the Rugby League World Club Championship match, as it's called, and someone who's been talking about that after bringing his South Sydney Rabbitohs team over to the UK is Russell Crowe. And Russell Crowe's been saying that, oh, I should get some gladiator music up.
Can you not get that music from South Park when Russell Crowe was on?
Oh!
What? The making music, making films and fighting around the world.
I heard that. I love Russell Crowe. He might be my favourite movie star.
Oh, that's a great shout, Phil. I can't believe I'd never thought of that.
Fight around the world. He fights his directors and he fights his fans. It's a problem no one understands.
If there's two things he loves, it's fighting and...
Fight round the world. Making movies, making music and fighting round the world.
Anyway... Do you know what I love about Russell Crowe? He's obviously a bit of an idiot when he has a few beers or whatever.
Oh, come on, more characters in the world is what we need.
He's right down my street, don't get me wrong. But what I absolutely love most is, you know, these kind of soft Hollywood types, and they try and interview him. You're like, you what, mate? Have you got a tin ear? He went after the BBC film critic really harshly for criticising his accent. Loved
it. Really?
Yeah. You got a tin ear, mate? Oh, God.
Well, he's said that Stuart Lancaster should pick Sam Burgess. That's what one of the things he's come out and said. Other things he came out and said was,
"Hi, my name's Russell Crowe, leader of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, part-time drunkard and fighter, and I am smashed on the tinnies. And I went into a bar where Stuart Lancaster, Graham Rowntree and Andrew Farrell were having a quiet meal. I pinned Lancaster up the wall. I said, pick Burgess in this life or the next. And then I went to sleep in a barn with my horse."
That happened.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah,
bloody hell.
So he's. But,
oh. Do you know what though?
This is kind of a non-story, isn't it? But it's got loads of column inches.
Well, you know, if you do go into a bar with Stuart Lancaster, Graham Rowntree, and Andy Farrell, I'm pretty sure I know which one I'm starting a fight with.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you picked wisely
makes
on
sense.
That.
It does make sense.
So it's a kind of non-story, but I suppose it could lead us on to Sam Burgess and his Bath teammates' performance against Northampton in what was a good win in the Premiership for Northampton.
Now, I watched bits of this game.
Which game are we talking about?
Bath-Northampton. Yeah. And it's never occurred to me before, but it has now, and you'll like this, Tim. Is it only me, or does Mickey Youngs look like Danny Dyer?
Yes, he does.
You think everyone looks like Danny Dyer, though? You said I look like him last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, no, Danny Dyer looked like you last week in his T-shirt.
Right. Okay.
Mickey Youngs looks like Danny Dyer.
Fact.
He's a naughty little salt, Nick Mickey Young. Naughty little salt.
Rocket Goonie had a horror.
That try, so we got put in 20 yards to run in a try.
He was jogging.
That's kind of his gait. And he was also the guy that caught him, Jamie Elliott, is much more diminutive. He's more like Phil sort of height. Mind you, Jamie Elliott, he's exactly the sort of player that you would want as a squad guy. Someone who's not quite going to bother the England selectors, but he's still a brilliant player. He was awesome.
He is a good player.
He's awesome. Yeah.
No one's going to pinch him as well. No one's going to offer him big money to go and move.
He was so good.
Man of the match performance.
Yeah, and that defensive tackle on its own.
Oh, that tackle was super.
Well, there's also the Rocket Goonie thing where he throws the ball away. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Silly.
You must have been loving Bath scrum, JB.
Yes, I was.
Oh, it was scrum porn.
Well, Bath and Leicester were scrummaging well.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
The Leicester scrummage might even be more impressive than the Bath scrummage.
But Leicester only scrummed. They did, as far as I watched the full 80 minutes, and I did not see them do a single other thing on that pitch.
I know.
It's so strange, isn't it?
It was nice of Stevie Wonder to prepare the pitch for London Irish v Leicester. What, it was just a bog.
It's horrible.
I don't understand how that pitch got in that state.
Yeah. Steve Diamond must have been pleased, though. Because there was nothing else was done.
Steve Diamond.
This is London Irish.
Sorry, Steve.
Richard Cockerell. That's a Freudian slip, isn't it?
Yeah. I get those two confused.
Because, of course, Richard Cockerill wants to be Steve Diamond.
Yes, sorry.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it was a horrible game. Leicester did absolutely... Jeff Cross looked like he was crowd surfing on top of the Leicester scrum. Do you see that?
I also just picked him up.
I've never seen...
Oh. Well, Jeff Cross looks like the sort of guy that would crowd surf.
Yeah,
as well.
100%.
A Metallica concert.
Yeah.
He just... I have seen props been picked up before, but never kind of picked up, but then kind of shuffled over the top of the scrum.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times, but very, very rarely. It takes a hell of a strong scrum to do that.
They've got this enormous scrum, and all they need to do is just play some rugby. Just find a way.
Well, if they'd have had London Irish's backs, I think they'd have cleaned up.
Completely agree. Yeah. All they need is a few key individuals to get the ball from the scrum to Miles Benjamin. And they will be fine. They just can't play any rugby.
But in between kind of mid-October and mid-March, they don't need to play rugby. They don't want to play rugby. All they do...
They really don't,
is
do they?
Scrum... Kick corners, yep. Kick sticks. They said on BT Sport that it's 300 minutes without them scoring a try in the Viva Premiership.
Wow.
Felt like 300 minutes watching them.
God, it did.
But you're right, if you had to summarise the way Leicester play in a bit of music, I'd pick this. Scrum to scrum to line out. Oh, and there's another scrum. Sort of slow, laborious. Let's eke out a win with a pen.
Horrible
just
game.
Horrible to
and
watch.
Wayne Barnes screwed London Irish right on the line, I felt. I couldn't see that being a penalty. I mean, maybe from a different angle it was, but you know, he was there, I guess. To me, it did not look like a penalty one bit, and it just killed off London Irish.
Yeah. Back to Northampton, and Bath had a powerful pack. Northampton, I love the fluency they play with. The offloads, the interchange, it's really lovely.
Yeah.
Great to watch.
Myler spreading the ball really well, because they've got kind of Wilson coming from the back as well, who can distribute. He comes into the line and can spread it wide.
Yep.
And Stevenson playing 12, great feet, looking really good.
They're almost like the team that Bath want to be, because Bath have got all the pace. I mean, Bath are basically like the PSB of teams. I mean, they should be the best there is, but they just can't quite bring all the wonderful attributes together.
It doesn't help that they're missing players.
In very, very key positions.
Yeah, but both of them worth.
And I think we've got to pay respects to Sale Sharks once again on a brilliant victory against Saracens. Again, ugly. They won it. They dogged it out. But it's just kind of what they do. And Steve Diamond's full of praise for Josh Beaumont, who's been playing number eight.
Well, yeah.
Son of former England captain Bill Beaumont. And
ding! Cliche.
Ding, cliche. we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
I quite like the quote that Steve Diamond gave after the game when he said, they said, what do you think of Josh Beaumont? He said, when his ass gets as big as his dad's was, he'll be an international.
Is that a Diamond quote?
Yeah.
Dimes.
Now, what we're about to do is a cliche 15. So it's all those things that commentators just can't help themselves but mention. When you read a news report, they can't help but mention it. All those cliches. So the one this started with a couple of months ago when Mark Quato announced his plans to retire, and we talked about, oh, you mean former Crewe Alexandra footballer Mark Quato, which commentators and journalists just love. So yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do right now a cliche 15 on the podcast. If you've got anything to suggest, at Rugby Podcast is where you can get in touch with us on Twitter. JB and Phil, let's have a cliche 15. You guys pitch it.
Okay.
And I'll adjudicate and have
shopping mall.
Shopping mall music. Well, yeah, come on then.
Okay, right. So we're going to tell you the player's name, and whoever's not told it, me, the other person, Tim, can guess.
Going from 1 to 15?
Yes, 1 to 15. Jay, have you got a loose head?
I don't know if he's loose head or tight head. I got loose head. Andrew Sheridan.
Andrew Sheridan. The cliche that people love to mention about him is, well, there's a few, actually.
Isn't there?
There's one that he plays guitar and released an album.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
And there is also one where he's a bricklayer.
Correct.
Trained bricklayer.
That's all I'm looking for. Bricklayer. Fact.
And also, he's now a wine trader, isn't he?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's good. All right, Phil.
Okay, at hooker, Brian Moore.
Oh, easy.
Go on,
I mean,
JB.
He very rarely mentions it.
Yeah, he should mention it more, you know. I think it'd be a real string to his bow for his commentary and, you know, all his witty observations. He was actually a solicitor, believe it or not.
Yes.
Not any old solicitor. He did a bigger range of law than Jared Rebecca. If you listen to him.
Fact. And he is one quarter pit bull.
That is true. On his mum's side, apparently.
Brian Moore.
Careful, careful.
Son of a bitch. Right, tight end then, JB. You got one?
Ewan Murray.
Oh, well, that's obvious. Doesn't play Sundays. Very religious.
No, he builds arcs on Sundays.
Builds arcs on Sundays. Second row then.
I went for his, one of JB's favourite clichés, and I've only ever heard it from JB. Nick Kennedy.
Mum's an author.
Mum's an author.
Nick Kennedy did at least confirm it when we met him.
Yeah, this is a fact. Well, I've got two, so I think I'll go with a more interesting one.
Yeah, ooh. Sorry, just can we make an appeal? Nick Mullins, Alistair Eakin of BT Sports, Stuart Barnes, Darren Morris, can you please start using that one when you are doing
stuff? I heard it from Sky Sports.
It's just not very interesting, though, is it?
Yeah, I guess that's the problem with it.
Second round.
Hayden Smith.
Oh, NFL player for New York Jets. What about Jamie Cudmore?
Fact.
Like, he was a...
I'm not sure they mentioned that he was
a gangbanger. Jamie Cudmore, the gangbanger.
I don't think they mentioned that, though, on the coverage.
No.
And just one more second row, because you may as well. Martin Johnson.
He played in New Zealand.
Yeah. Junior All Black.
Junior All Black.
Junior All Black.
And then went on to captain.
Fact.
All right, back row then.
Okay. Phil?
Easy one. Toby Faletau.
Toby
Faletau. He's cousin of the Vinopolas.
Of course.
Yeah.
Fact.
They love mentioning that when England play. Yeah,
that's the big cliche. They always mention that.
Luke Narraway.
I only know this because you told it me earlier today.
I don't know.
Was his dad's a butcher?
They always say that. His dad's a butcher. Son of a butcher. Fact. Luke Narraway makes England squad.
Okay. Okay. Finau Maka.
Slavery.
Someone is slave in his cupboard.
He's into
that
slavery.
That definitely doesn't get mentioned on commentaries.
Fact.
And we probably shouldn't mention it for fear of defamation.
Andy Powell? No, nothing.
Golf cart.
Golf cart,
maybe.
Married in that horrible white suit.
Oh God. Number nine?
I don't have a number nine, actually.
The one I've got is Thomas O'Leary.
Thomas O'Leary. Oh, is he a Gaelic footballer?
I think it was hurling. I'm sure he's a hurling
champion. He looks
champion.
Like a hurler.
Fact. Hurling, that's the one with the sticks with the rounded end.
Yeah. Do you know, all these Gaelic sports were made up just to despite the English. This isn't even a joke. They're all relatively modern. It's not like they're actually
someone
Celtic
told me,
sports.
Someone told me there's a former England footballer who's playing Gaelic football at like top level, David Bentley.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he?
I didn't know he was... No.
He was at Blackburn and then Arsenal before that.
Yeah, I saw this in the paper, actually. Yeah. He came up for a game of Gaelic football. Huh. Must have moved for the money.
Fly off.
Filippo Contepomi.
I've got him down.
Is he a surgeon?
I don't know, actually.
A doctor, yeah.
I think he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Fact.
Go on, then. And surely that'll be 12 as well.
Yep.
Jamie Roberts. The doctor will see you now.
The doctor will see you now.
Fact.
I actually had Luke McAllister.
Oh, that played for Oldham.
Yeah.
Oh,
too easy.
I love it.
And another Luke McAllister one.
Yeah.
Have you got it, Tim?
No.
Is it something to do with his quads?
They're massive,
massive
quads.
Massive quads.
No, what's the other one?
He had trials at Manchester United.
Fact.
There he's get, I did not know
when
that.
His dad was playing over here.
So obviously Mark Quato on one wing used to play for Crewe, or could have played for Crewe.
Fact.
How about Liam Botham?
Chris, dad's Liam Botham, and he played cricket for...
Played three international sports.
Well,
not international,
not international.
No. He played no, county
representative
cricket.
Level, sorry.
He played county cricket.
No, completely wrong. Three professional sports. Okay,
three
move on.
Professional sports.
What was the third?
Cricket League Union.
Rugby League
right,
and Rugby
fair
Union.
Play.
Mm. Tommy Bow? Fullback, maybe?
Line of shoes.
Actually, what was Tommy Bow's?
Gaelic football,
wasn't that's it? That's yeah.
on. Jeff Wilson?
Oh, cricket.
Played international. That was international cricket and rugby.
Yeah.
He was...
He was in the original Jonah Lomu rugby game, he was the other winger in the New Zealand team.
Was he?
He was number 14 on the wing and Jonah Lomu was number 11.
He got. I just looked him up. He got 60 caps for New Zealand.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah, he's a serious
pretty
good
impressive.
Player.
Yeah.
Rory Underwood.
Pilot.
Oh, RAF
too easy,
pilot.
Too easy.
Yeah. They used to love saying, oh, he's flying down the wing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's just one more that's not been mentioned, a centre that I love. I love this one.
Sam Burgess was Sloth in the Goonies.
No. Friend of the podcast, Ayula Irinley.
Countdown.
One on countdown.
Double countdown champion.
Countdown champion.
Fact.
Which just means he won two episodes.
Or was it had the deepest voice in the deepest ever recorded voice?
That as well.
Okay, this was a song done by Nottingham Rugby Club in 2011 featuring Ayula Irinley.
Keep your feet on the ground. The league's so tight now. The playoffs are in our sights. I built my dreams around them.
Deepest ever recorded voice.
Fact.
could have Tom Evans as well, audition for 50 Shades
of Grey. Yeah, yeah. As you mentioned last week.
Former squeeze of Kelly Brook.
Indeed.
Although commentators don't really mention that. There's quite a few players that could play that one.
We could probably do a sevens team of former squeeze of Kelly Brook, wouldn't
it? It'd be a pretty good sevens team, actually.
Who could assemble a better sports team? Kim Kardashian or Kelly Brook? Reggie Bush, there's that CP. Did you go Chris Paul?
Well, there's that Odom, her sister's fella.
Lamar Odom, who plays for the Rockets, I want to say. Yeah, they could do well for themselves. Mm. Yeah, we'll have to get one. Did Cipriani go with Brooke?
Yeah.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Did he?
At least twice.
That's a good game. We'll get back onto that.
Yes. All right, there's our cliche 15. If there's anyone we've missed, if there's any like proper stat that the commentators love to dust off, then at Rugby Podcast on Twitter is where you can find us.
Shall we have a little break for some refreshment, Tim? We've got some sweet treats.
Ooh, oh my
word. Team.
How right, so you made these?
Mainly my girlfriend.
I was gonna say you're one armed at the minute.
Did I do anything?
Have you got any hot beverages to go with?
Are these Chelsea buns?
They are Chelsea buns.
Oh, oh Phil.
Don't mind if I do.
Homemade Chelsea buns.
Ooh.
I'm gonna do a
so naughty.
Great British Bake Off. It's a good bake. It's nice and laminated on top. There's only one word to describe that Chelsea bun, Phil. You know what that word is.
I do.
That is wonderful bun. Wonderful bun.
Good bun. Could do with a brew with it.
Good bun.
I like this. It's like a Sparty. Is that apricot jam? It's like marzipan flavour.
Marzipan, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's special.
Marzipan whirl.
Simple things, eh?
Really, really good.
You know what I really hate? Watching great things like Great British Menu. Where every dish has to have a sense of humour.
What do you mean?
They'll get a dish in front of them and go, oh, you just see the sense of humour.
What?
Real humorous cooking by the chef there.
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
No. Wonderful. She's a keeper. She can make curtains and bake. And doctor. Total keeper.
She even... Massive pension.
Says the financial advisor in the room. Right, so there's plenty more rugby to talk about. We'll get into the Six Nations in a second. There's more from the weekend just gone to discuss. Phil, you must be itching to talk about Ulster.
Ah, what a performance. What a game. Heroic. Heroic in victory over in Edinburgh. Very tough game, tough conditions. And with 20 minutes to go, had Stuart McCloskey sent off, red carded.
Really?
It was definitely a penalty. He cleared someone out of the ruck, and because of the way he landed on his head. But it was like a roll rather than a pick up and spear. Mm-hmm. So I can understand why it was given a red card, although I think a yellow would have been sufficient. And then shortly after that, they had Van der Merwe yellow carded. So they finished a game with 13 men, heroic defence on their own line, to win, I think it was 2018. They beat a good Edinburgh side.
Did you see the other result which got my attention in the Pro 12?
Glasgow against Ospreys?
I watched that game.
That was a good win, that.
Well, it wasn't good to watch. It was all right. I mean, that was exactly what I said about Glasgow a few weeks ago, which is relying on your Fijians to come up with magic isn't necessarily...
No. I think that was an amazing result for Glasgow. They were missing 22 players.
Yeah, but so were Ospreys.
22. That's a whole match day squad, practically.
Oh, no. You look at the Ospreys injury list and the internationals missing. They're missing a lot, too.
But Glasgow lose more than any other teams during the Six Nations because they've got so many Scottish internationals.
No, the result I was talking about was the Cardiff Blues result.
Yeah, Treviso. Yeah.
But it's a big loss as well. It's not like...
40 points to 24. Massive loss.
And they've got a new coaching team. They were very, very optimistic in Cardiff at the start of the season. It's just not acceptable, really.
So the Pro 12 teams, obviously, Sean are their Six Nations international players and so are the English Premiership side. So let's talk about the Six Nations coming up. I'm so excited about this weekend's round of matches. I think it's the best overall card of matches that there is.
I agree with that. You're potentially the top two, the middle two and the bottom two.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I guess you are.
And the big one, I mean, how do you see it going down at the Scotland. Aviva Stadium in Dublin? Ireland v England. Oh, it's mouth-watering.
It's really, really hard to say. I think England need to use their slightly bigger Type 5, use their pack for what they're good for, and unfortunately play some slightly more boring rugby.
Really? Because I just think, you know, judging by the last few games, give it to Jonathan Joseph.
Well, maybe. Ireland's defence is so good. Their defensive line.
Wales' defence.
By far the fewest points in the tournament. Ireland have a really simple game plan from what I've seen. They will not play any rugby in their own half. They will always put it up, kick the corners, and then have a really good kick chase and just put the pressure
on
the opponent.
So, do you know what? I think that's the most underrated thing in all of rugby. Kick chase.
Really simple, but really effective tactic.
How many people had a coach when they were growing up going, no such thing as a bad kick, only a bad chase?
Yeah.
That's a rugby cliche, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
But they're absolutely right. I mean, a good kick chase, back your D. It doesn't get much more simple than that.
But then England can almost counteract that by using their better set piece, potentially getting penalties from the scrum, and using their solid line out and driving maul and making yards from that. I think that's the way to do. And then if that creates some room for Jonathan Joseph and Anthony Watson and May
Ford.
Or Noel or Ford, yeah.
Noel.
If it does, that's a very good thing.
Luther Burrell, I feel a bit bad for sleeping on him a little bit because...
Sleeping on him?
Yeah, as in not recognising him. If you sleep, you know, like a sleeper, if you sleep on a fantasy football pick, sleeper picks.
I've not
must
heard.
Be
an American phrase.
It must be an American phrase. That means some... I thought you were... I feel a bit bad for creeping into Luther Burrell's bedroom.
All right, fine.
I was staying in the same hotel as Big Luth, and he left his door ajar.
It occurred to me Luther Burrell has been involved with every good England midfield partnership, or anything good a midfield partnership in England has done for the last 2 years.
Him and 12 Trees played really well in the Six Nations last year.
They play him at 12, play him at 13, they don't really care. And now Jonathan Joseph
Now
is
Big Luth is doing it again.
He is.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, because I think it'll be quite a good way to sort of decide where we think the balance of power is going with this. Let's pick a 15 quickly out of a combined likely teams that England and Ireland will pick.
Okay.
Start fullback then. Now, this is a tough call.
Watson.
Mike Brown, Rob Kearney.
No, Kearney. What was I thinking?
Yeah, Kearney.
I think I'd go Kearney. If you were picking a Lions team, I think Kearney would probably just get the nod from Brown. And my prediction is Halfpenny wouldn't make the squad.
Well, you're mad. Because he would make him and Kearney would.
Potentially for kicks.
Kicking sticks for the midweek team.
Yeah.
Unbelievably naive. But carry on.
Anyway, okay, on the wings.
On the wings, Tommy Bow.
Tommy Bow.
Tommy Bow for me?
Definitely. And then Watson ahead of Zeebo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Based on what we've seen so far in the tournament, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In centres, Jonathan Joseph, how would have to go in?
And Robbie Henshaw.
And Robbie Henshaw he's been really impressive, one of the players of the tournament so far.
Although I've seen very little of him going forward, mainly because of the way that Ireland are playing, as in they are not really playing rugby unless they're deep in the opposition's territory.
I'm a Henshaw fan, but I think in this case I would personally go for Burrell.
George Ford won't make this 15 though, will he?
No.
That's not necessarily based purely on form.
Not yet is what I'd say. Hang on, is Sexton playing or is he concussed?
No, he played against France.
Yeah, but that's when he got concussed.
No, he didn't get concussed. He took a couple of head bangs, but didn't get concussed because he played yesterday.
There you go, then.
For resting against Clermont in a 13-all draw.
God, they didn't get any rest, did they?
No.
Back to it, boys.
So on that.
It's pretty brutal.
And then who would get the scrum half? Conor Murray or...
Conor Murray for me.
Or Ben Youngs?
I think Conor Murray is probably the outstanding scrum half in the home nations.
Ben Youngs is playing really well in this tournament, though.
He's playing as well as Ben Youngs can play. I mean, that's pretty good, but it's not Conor Murray.
I probably would, long-term form, go for Conor Murray
Go for Conor Murray as well. So, 9, 10, 12, 14, 15 belong to Ireland. So that suggests that Ireland have got it over England
in the back.
Behind the scrum.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they try and exploit that. Or play the way they played the last couple of weeks.
Into the forwards then. Keane Healy or Joe Marler?
Well, given that Keane Healy, he didn't start last weekend and he's only played one game back, I'd probably go for Joe Marler.
I don't like either of these two, to be fair.
Really?
I'm not a big Joe Marler fan yet.
What, you prefer Paul James over both of them?
As a scrimmager, yes.
Do one.
Do one. You're outrageous, Tim. You're outrageous. Keane Healy is just coming back, so...
Marler gets the nod on this one, although it's close.
You can pick whoever you want, then I'll agree.
Yeah. Hooker?
100% Dills.
Yeah, I would go for Dills ahead of Ultimate Rory
Best. Yeah, all Rory Best needs to do as a professional hooker is throw the ball in, and he can't do that. The one job he needs to do, he does everything else wonderfully, but he can't throw a ball in.
His stats for Ireland are normally pretty good, but agreed he's not as good as Dylan Hartley.
Incidentally, on the hooker, did you see that little clip from the Wales training of Patrick Swayze,
yes.
Richard Hibbard just chucking a ball at Dan Bigger?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Funny. Yeah, it's good.
Was it Cuthbert holding the ball and just tapped it out from
tapped
under his
out
arm?
Tapped out of Cuthbert's hand. That's most on target Hibbard's been for a long time.
Nice.
Tight head?
Oh, definitely not Mike Ross.
Definitely not Mike Ross?
Yeah.
Okay, what's that then?
In we go then.
Dan Cole or Davy Wilson, obviously.
Dan Cole for me, I think he's superb.
Yeah, Dan Cole.
Marla Hartley Cole, the whole English front row.
Mm. Yeah.
Paul O'Connell, obviously.
Yes.
With over Dan Atwood. Atwood.
No, with Dave Atwood. With Atwood. Dave Atwood.
Yeah, over Cruz.
Yeah.
Atwood and O'Connell.
Happy with that.
Here we go.
Back row.
Prepare for fireworks.
There's no Heaslip, so it's like kind of Vunipola by default.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Omani on six over Captain Bantos.
No chance. Bantos has been outstanding.
No.
But he has been outstanding. You can't say no. He has been outstanding.
No,
he has been outstanding. I would probably go for Peter Omani.
Oh, shut your mouth. Sorry.
this is not...
You're so wrong, though.
No, it's not.
You're both wrong. Why?
This is based on form, you would have to go... Although he was awesome against France. You'd have to go Sean O'Brien over Rob Shaw. Rob Shaw's been brilliant.
I thought Rob Shaw was your joint favourite player of all time ever to play any sport.
I would go for Rob Shaw purely because Sean O'Brien's only played two games in the last however many months.
All right, we'll go
I'm with Bill on that one.
Sean O'Brien was brilliant when he came back.
Yeah. So we've got we've got a back line containing most of the Irish players. We've got a forward pack containing six Englishmen.
What are the chances?
So yeah, England keep it tight.
England.
And then can potentially use their explosive
backs. Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah, they're Jonathan Joseph.
Use their Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah. And George Ford.
Yeah. Miles Benjamin.
And it's interesting that they've been talking about potentially Noel coming into... even Lancaster's been talking about Noel.
So he had his best game of the season last week.
The last couple of games. He played 13 the last couple of weeks.
Did he?
With Slade at 10, yeah.
Slade, now we're talking.
Playing really well.
Tell you what, luscious hair, Slade.
Oh, on BT Sport today.
Very thick. Good hairline.
Yeah. He is, 21, 22?
Yeah, I guess so. He looks so young and so small compared to Delalio.
I know, sitting next to Delalio.
I thought Delalio was about to turn on and just snack on him. Rip off an arm.
But yeah, going back to that, it'd be interesting to see who England pick at fullback, whether they bring Alex Goode in to play fullback.
Mm. No.
Or whether they put Watson there and then have Noel and May. One of the good things about bringing Goode in is you could potentially have Watson and Noel. So you've effectively got three guys who are experienced fullbacks. Mm. And because Ireland kick so much, it should mean that their positioning and like kick return will be second to none. So that's like potentially quite a good strategy.
That's a great point, that.
Who's going to win?
In Ireland, with Johnny Sexton back?
Yep.
I'd say Ireland are favourites.
I think Ireland are favourites. I think England will win.
I think Ireland are favourites. I think England will win.
Wow.
That's because you're a patriot, Tim.
No.
As we discovered in my living room.
No, it's because...
You
because
can't discuss
look
England.
At the weekend just gone. I look at the weekend just gone. Forwards are so important. The scrum is so important. I might be completely wrong, but I think England are going to get pens from the scrum. Quite a lot of them.
Yeah, they definitely could do.
Well, if we knew, we wouldn't play the game.
Although the breakdown... although Omani...
Cliche.
Omani and O'Brien at the breakdown...
Yeah.
They're devastating, though. They're going to slow England's ball up a lot.
But Haskell will take care
of
it.
Yeah, Haskell and Robshaw, the amount of work that those two, and Atwood as well, the amount of work those boys get through.
Can I just talk about some excellent rucking?
Please.
Did you see the highlight of, well, this tells you how bad the London Irish game was. How bad the London Irish game was, Munipolo's rucking.
Yeah.
It was glorious. George Skivington came over.
Took his head off, practically.
Bang! Yeah. And what's his name, to his credit, the ref?
Wayne Barnes.
Play on.
Yeah,
let the boys play.
Yeah.
Well done, Wayne.
Now, you mentioned Johnny Sexton has recovered from a concussion and he's back playing. Freddie Burns went off in that London Irish Leicester game. I have actually got the concussion protocol.
Really?
Oh, really?
I thought I would, just to demonstrate what happens when a player gets a bump on the head and they go and they get tested, I thought I would both test you for concussion on the podcast.
Now, Tim, I'm on some pretty heavy painkillers at the moment, I can't guarantee I'm going to pass this.
And I have a significant cognitive advantage over Phil as well.
Well,
this could be a horrific mismatch.
Well, a bloodbath.
One of the things they tell you to look for is a significant amount of emotion from a player, and that can come in the form of anger, which makes me think that JB would just get taken off straight away. I thought I'd test you guys for concussion. So you've had a bang on the head and they've said that, right, it's a concussion change. You've got, is it 10 minutes now they have?
8 minutes was what George North was off. But you have a period of time.
10 minutes to come back on. The doctor will take you into his room and he will ask you, right, so I'll ask you different questions. JB, what day is it today?
Sunday.
So they ask you about the game. They ask you, like, you know, what do you remember about the game? Who was the last person to score? All the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to repeat. I'm going to give you, Phil, I'm going to give you five words and you have to repeat them back to me in any order you like. You just have to try and get the five words. The words are apple, bubble, saddle, elbow, carpet.
Apple, bubble, saddle, elbow, carpet.
Well done. JB,
that sounds a
bit hard. JB, candle, paper, sugar, sandwich, wagon.
Candle, sugar, paper, sandwich, wagon.
Got all five. Well done. So they'd ask that a couple of times. That's testing the immediate memory. And they ask you to do a balance test. But the concentration test is I'm going to give you a sequence of numbers and you have to try and give them to me in reverse. So, JB.
Oh, God.
493.
394.
Phil. 3814.
4183.
Well done.
How does Andy Powell do this?
JB. 62971.
17927 26 26.
You got four of them right. They're looking for you to get above four numbers correct.
So I'm just a little.
So you would have passed.
Same as
they would have done. And you can go up to six or seven and see how you get on.
Okay.
And then after you've done that and a balance test, then they come back and go, "Can you tell me those five words that I told you earlier?"
Apple, saddle, bubble. Something.
I can't tell you it.
Sandwich, maybe?
Was sandwich mine?
But maybe that was yours.
I had candle, wagon, sandwich, something or other.
Candle, wagon, sandwich, sugar and paper, and you had elbow, apple, carpet, saddle, bubble. And they're looking for you to remember at minimum of three of those five words.
Right, OK.
Although what they do for people like Andy Powell, presumably, is they should have a baseline test on that player.
Ah.
So they'll do this when they're fine.
Yeah.
So they can compare it.
Pig, cow, cat.
Because there's a story of an old Sale player who couldn't get the required baseline score.
That's how they do it. So do you want me to concuss Phil now and see how his score's going?
Good luck.
And then they say look for...
Fighting talk.
Other than that, they look for obvious red flags like headache, nausea...
Asking for them...
Vomiting, slurred speech, can't recognise people or places, confusion, irritability, unusual change in behaviour. But that's it. That's what they do in the doctor's room when there's a concussion.
Wow.
Exactly what we've just done there. The Samford Sports Concussion Programme. So I think they've used it in NFL and rugby have used...
It's really interesting topic, and it's really interesting that now we're seeing so many more concussions being reported and players missing games because of concussions that a few years ago, you just never would have seen it unless someone was seriously, seriously hurt.
So Wales against France.
Interesting.
Well, France versus Wales.
Yeah, because it's in Paris, isn't it?
Well, if there's one team that the Welsh game plan should technically struggle against, you'd have thought it'd be France, right?
What, because of France's big pack?
Yes, exactly. So putting them through the meat grinder could be difficult. If they go for this tactic of kicking it, I mean, kicking towards Teddy Thomas might not be a terrible idea.
No.
But it might be quite a good idea, unless there's one time he actually catches it.
Yeah.
If he catches it two times, that's two tries. So, it's a bit of a gamble.
So you're 14 points down.
Yeah.
I see Wales winning this.
Do you reckon?
Oh, I don't know. They've not been playing brilliantly, but I think they might spark into life now. They've had a 2-week break.
Yeah,
this is when Wales turn their corner.
That's true as well, because all the French players have been playing this weekend.
And we talked about wasn't there some? I'm sure you had a stat in a previous podcast, Phil, about the percentage of wins that France have had when their players have been playing domestic rugby.
Yeah, I can't remember
in the off week.
I can't remember the exact figures, but they've only won one or two of the middle games when they have the rest week for everyone else. Just really, really poor performances by France in this middle period of the Six Nations because their players play on the two rest weeks.
They're definitely making sure the Welsh boys play, aren't they?
Yeah, Welsh boys, Irish.
Oh, yeah.
Sexton.
Hell yeah.
And then he does his substitute fitness as well with all the other subs straight after the game. Really running into the ground.
Yeah, he's got 5 days of of bleep tests, solid.
Makes sense, make sure he's fit.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Wales win for that reason. I think they'll have had 2 weeks to get themselves really ready for this one.
I don't see France doing anything.
Wales will start brighter, but I can see France with that monstrous
That's a big old
monstrous bench they've got. as well, because they can just bring on monster after monster after monster. Yeah. Whereas
even their fullback's a monster. He's a huge. Yeah.
Do you remember that? I don't suppose you remember. Do you remember that old football agent who used to be on telly? He had like a cigar, and he'd go monster, monster,
oh
monster,
yeah.
Eric somewhere.
I do.
Just sounded like that for a minute. Monster, monster game. Yeah, monster game.
I can see Wales starting brightly.
Yeah. He used to represent football players.
Wow. Yeah. And then France coming back and maybe sneaking it.
I said Wales to win. I'm changing my mind. I think a slender French win.
Yeah, I'm going to go for France as well. Just France to be losing at half time and then win it in the last five minutes.
So Welshman JB, you've gone for a slender French win?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
It's all about stopping Bastille. Stop Bastille, stop France.
They've got the men to do it with Robertson, Davies.
Robertson Davies up against Bastille, yeah. Fofana. That is pretty tidy.
You just put Lydia in the centres as well. Nothing's coming through there.
Scotland, Italy.
Scotland to smash them, I'd hope.
I don't think they'll smash them, but I think they should win comfortably.
I think there'll be three scores. And no Finn Russell, as things stand at the moment.
He's not going to get an appeal accepted.
He's got an appeal, so...
Yeah, it's not going to be accepted, though. Finn Russell won't be playing.
Right, who is this benefiting? We want to see Finn Russell play. I want to see him play.
He broke the laws. He has to...
But, you know,
accept the consequences.
As a game as a whole, is it not better that Scotland are a competitive force with all the best... They can't afford to lose Finn Russell. Find Finn Russell as a match fee or something. That'd be far more effective. Don't weaken the brand.
You can't change the rules
just for Scotland because Scotland doesn't have
many fly halves.
But Scotland can play Laidlaw at fly half and get whatever his name is.
Dog Tanyon.
Hidalgo Klein.
Yeah.
Playing nine. So yeah. It doesn't necessarily weaken them that much. The Italy pack is considerably better than the Scottish pack, I think. Whereas the Scottish back line is considerably better than the Italian back line. So it should be quite
one of the Grey Brothers is out for the rest of the season. Not season, Six Nations, sorry.
Yeah, so Hamilton will come in.
He's in a bad replacement, to the actually.
Yeah.
Not pretty good with his tiny calves.
Tiny calves. Little veal calves.
All right, you mentioned Finn Russell, like you say, getting in trouble. I don't think he's quite got in trouble as someone in Super Rugby.
God.
Queensland Reds star player, Carmichael Hunt.
Doesn't Carmichael Hunt sound rude to you?
Yeah, it really does.
Every time someone says it, I'm like,
what? I beg your pardon.
Yeah, excuse me.
And this is an Australian odd-shaped ball player getting in trouble, not for bubbling,
by the way,
not for drinking their own wee at a urinal. Straight from the bottle, so to speak, that was. Anyway, listen back to the previous episode where we mentioned bubbling. I don't want to go into that now.
Yeah.
So, Mr. K. Hunt, is it a K? Is it a C?
That sounds even ruder.
It is a K. It is Mr. K. Hunt.
Yeah, so Mr. K. Hunt. is he a rugby league convert?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So, rugby league, then went to Biarritz for a couple of seasons. Then went
he
back.
He did.
To,
that's yeah. That okay.
Went back to play AFL for a couple of seasons and has now joined the Reds.
Wow. So what's he done then?
Do you want to summarise, Phil, what he's done? Go on. You always put it in a nice diplomatic way.
Well, he's
been accused of.
He's been charged by the police for supplying cocaine.
Wow.
Not possessing or using.
Yeah.
Supplying is what he's been charged for.
Isn't that just a technical term because you've got too much of it on? On
well, maybe.
And maybe he's just a real lad, you know?
I'm not sure.
Maybe he just really enjoys a good
maybe
time.
Maybe we should just get him in Banter Squadron with our rugby banter.
Well, we've got some spaces.
We do. But the Reds managed to do okay without him. And this was... did you see that try?
The try that was disallowed or the first try?
The try of the year contender. I'm going to play you the commentary of this. What a try.
Kieran Granny. Sortier and now Karimi over the top and goes Turner the Reds.
I just like Turner.
It was a great try.
It was a brilliant try.
So Carmichael Hunt was supposed to play 15. He played 10 last week. He dropped out 24 hours because of these charges. James O'Connor inexplicably failed a medical immediately before kickoff as well.
Medical. That could go. That could be a number of things, couldn't it?
It could be linked to the Carmichael Hunt.
It could be linked. They both had good times.
Yeah. So it means.
Oh God! I hope not.
I hope not. I'm sure it's not. It's ridiculous to suggest it. But it
is
could,
it ridiculous?
But
because
it could be.
Yeah. I mean, it probably didn't.
Most likely, it definitely didn't.
But could it happen?
It is a possibility.
It is most certainly a possibility.
But that means that their three first choice fly halves are Carmichael Hunt, supplying cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
James O'Connor, General Horror Show, and Quade Cooper.
Do you think O'Connor is a General Horror Show? Or is he just doing what anyone would as at that age, with that amount of money, with that amount of attention? That's the way I tend to think about it.
Maybe.
Is there anything he's done where you think, oh, yeah, that's bad, but it's quite funny by the time you get to Christmas?
Yeah, I'm sure he's actually... Well, I'm sure they're all right.
Another guy who likes to party and JB loves...
It's at the back of the scrum very quickly.
This is from the club's own commentary. This is from Bristol Rugby's own commentary.
All across. Hits and steals the ball out of his hands. He's going to get a try. His debut for Bristol is marked with a try. His first
Gav,
game.
Gav! I was looking for that.
Big Gav.
Looking for everywhere.
He ripped the ball off the guy in the tackle.
Because he can.
Who's the Poindexter they've got commentating on that?
I know. But let's be fair, that commentary of tuna, tuna, tuna isn't going to top.
If he gets a bounce to keep it in.
Oh, beautiful. Oh.
Cirque du Soleil.
We should have that as a little clip for something. I don't know what. When someone makes an amazing point.
Cirque du Soleil.
When someone makes a real amazing point, that should be reserved for only very special occasions.
Oh, beautiful. Cirque du Soleil.
How good was the actual bit of skill? Because I've only heard the audio.
Oh, it's so good.
It's great, yeah.
So good.
It'll... cartwheel as he dotted the ball down.
I wonder if that guy will be moving to the NFL sometime soon, so he'll commentate there.
Have you watched much of this? You watched a bit of the Super Rugby. I've got to say, I love it. I absolutely love the Super Rugby. I love the fact that you can practically go a whole 24 hours watching rugby in one form or another.
That is exceptional.
Which I pretty much did on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, and it's because you've got a horrible few weeks where NFL ends and you don't know what to do with your 8 hours on a Sunday. But then the Super Rugby kicks in again.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
God.
Yeah,
I do
think, like you say though, Tim, it's time of the year. So the conditions in Britain aren't great for running rugby at the moment.
Mind you, Queensland Reds were scoring those tries and there was a cyclone just about to hit Queensland.
But that wasn't a high scoring game. And the other games that I watched, the Bulls versus the Hurricanes was low scoring and the Chiefs versus
the Brumbies. It's only the Waratahs game where the Waratahs other one really let rip.
Yeah.
I watched the Sharks game. I didn't watch the Stormers against the Blues. I recognised all of four players, maybe, and it was not enjoyable.
That's weird, because there's normally a lot of internationals. Like in the Bulls versus the Hurricanes, you could probably field 15 full internationals across the two teams.
Mm.
15 South African and New Zealand internationals as well. So good household names.
No, not in the game that I watched.
It must be in the build-up to the...
I think
that must be a union's... Rugby World Cup decision.
I think the Super Rugby teams, especially New Zealand, said, look...
Central contracts.
Yeah, whatever you want to do with them, it's up to you. Just go and win this World Cup.
Yeah. Like Sonny Bill played last week, didn't play this week.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the games that are coming up this weekend, aside from the Six Nations, obviously, which we've already talked about. So there's some Aviva Premiership games again.
Okay, Northampton, Harlequins on Friday night.
Northampton.
Saints.
Big time win.
Yeah, Harlequins lose...
badly.
The players that they lose affect them more than virtually anyone else.
Yeah.
Welsh, Irish.
Ooh.
Ooh. No comment.
Someone with London in the name will definitely win.
Who doesn't play in London, but has London in their name.
I would say the ones that live closer to that play closer to London will win that
Irish.
Comfortably.
Yep. Yeah, I'll go with that. Saracens, Newcastle.
Where?
Sarries.
At Sarries.
Did a wild
That's a great noise, Jay.
Well, do you know why? I think they're both quite interesting because Newcastle play a nice brand of rugby now.
They do.
They're starting to open up a bit. And, of course, Saracens have a plastic pitch.
They do.
So this might not be the one-way traffic which you're expecting or the boring Saracens-type game that you're expecting either. So this could be a little bit of a weekend gem.
Sarries at home,
yeah. But I think Newcastle make it a lot closer than you would otherwise expect.
If teams were like stocks and shares, I think the market price for Newcastle Falcons has increased probably more than any other team this year.
Agree with that, yeah, definitely.
Who has decreased the most?
Well, we all thought London Welsh would stay up, so...
So on that basis, then...
Would you not say Harlequins?
Yeah, Quins. Yeah, you're probably right.
I'd say Harlequins are looking like, you know...
Quins and Leicester.
Greek debt at the moment.
Yeah, Quins and Leicester.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then the next game, Leicester versus Sale. If you like your attacking, free-flowing rugby, do not watch this.
Yeah. Oh, God, you want to remove your eyes after watching that?
Leicester to grind it out at home.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Meat grinder, job done.
Yeah, exactly. And then the big game on Saturday, the televised game, 3:15 on BT Sport. Exeter versus Bath.
Oh, I love this matchup. I love this matchup.
I do as well. It's the best matchup of the year. I love the two sets of fans too.
Yeah, this will be
at Exeter.
At Exeter, yeah.
Oh,
oh wow!
And Exeter, they might lose Jack Noll to the England squad.
Everyone else is available.
Virtually everyone else, yeah.
Chiefs.
What was that?
Chiefs.
Oh, right, it was you.
Chiefs at home. Yeah. To win.
Chiefs as well.
I thought it was a chant. Chiefs at home.
Big Dave Ewers.
Oh, Big Dave.
And Slade pulling the strings as well.
What a team they've got, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, can I... Right, this is something which I said to Phil. I didn't realise that this had happened. When London Irish announced that they had the Chiefs assistant coach, I got excited because I thought London Irish were going to build the same way as Exeter have. It's not the same Chiefs.
Tom Coventry from the Waikato Chiefs.
Yeah, yes. It's not Tom Coventry from Exeter Chiefs, there is a Tom Coventry Exeter Chiefs. I kind of thought that was a bit of a backward step as soon as I heard that.
Good research, that. I like the fact that you looked, but I don't quite know that the name of that coach. I don't hear about it. Shall I just Google him, just find out a bit about him? I just guessed where he's come from.
I thought Morris Both was going to sail.
I actually think it's a really good bit of business.
But he doesn't know the league, an extra well-built club, and extra basically what London Irish should be aspiring to be like.
But the Chiefs have won two out of the last three Super Rugby titles. But they've got a wealth of international talent, and they're really...
Yes, they do have a wealth of international talent, which London Irish do not have.
Luke Franks has signed for London Irish. Yeah, imagine what a difference he would have made if he was starting against Leicester.
And Maitland. Yeah. Maitland signed as well.
Yeah. Mates.
Good signings.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the Premiership matches.
Wasps, Gloucester as well.
Of course.
On
the Sunday. Wasps.
Yeah, I'll go for Wasps.
I would go for Wasps, but now I'm trying to start to have second thoughts. I mean, they're a club who are devastated, knowing that they've basically lost their players' captain.
By the way, just on that, while you're deciding, Christian Wade got gassed by Juan Pablo Sutinho.
What?
Yeah. I was amazed at the pace of that.
Yeah.
Sutinho.
The little centre?
Well, he's not so little. He's got massive quads on him as
Has
well.
He?
And Joe Simpson as well.
Yeah.
But it was more... So Joe Simpson was catching him, and then he stepped, and Simpson like went to tackle just as he stepped. Perfect timing. So he scored from 50 yards out with the two quickest guys in Wasp trying to catch him.
Wow, and that's a quick squad as well.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to mention a couple of reviews we've had on iTunes.
Well, yes, please.
Thank you very much for these. Any feedback is all good. I just like this one.
Oh, good feedback is all good.
So Steve Jones left this one after the last podcast. This is a great podcast. Been listening, blah, blah, blah. Keeps getting better. One for the true rugby fan. Yada, 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 yada. He says, best to take what JB says with a pinch of salt.
Oh, behave, Steve. Hear me now, believe me later. It always happens, doesn't it? Always happens.
Not always. It does happen. It does happen. Every now and again.
And Wixie... left us a little bit of feedback going. Genuinely funny podcast by heartfelt fans of the game. Do your cauliflower ears a favour and listen to it. So I always think that should be like the strap line for the show.
Yeah, that's like, not a bad strap line, actually.
It's all about food then. Cauliflower ears.
Rugby for your cauliflower ears.
Oh,
egg chasers.
I think you're onto something there, Wixie.
Yeah.
We might owe you a pint for that one. But at Rugby Podcast, you can find us on Twitter and iTunes. Yeah, leave us a little rating and a bit of feedback. Very, very welcome and helps us climb the iTunes charts, as we have done, to be the biggest rugby podcast, most popular rugby podcast in the known universe. That's a fact.
Unless string theory exists, in which case there are more popular rugby podcasts.
Eh?
Well, because of the theory of infinity.
Oh, well, there's an infinite number of monkeys. Correct. One of them will write Shakespeare.
Correct, yeah. There could potentially be a bigger rugby podcast than this somewhere.
Do you want to try your game, JB, before we finish?
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Right, well, let's finish off the podcast with JB's game that he's invented.
We've got a jingle to JB's game that he has invented.
Have you prepared?
What about that?
I like that.
As we've not got
it's JB's
time.
Game.
Okay. Oh, God. All right, so, what I want from you boys is the difference in score between the winning team and the losing team. So, in effect, the margin of victory. Okay? That's all I want.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you about a game.
What's that?
It's my phone. This section's cursed. So I'm going to tell you about a game. All the games will have a theme, and today's theme is red cards. Thank you. So, Let's start with a nice, easy one for you. Sam Warburton, semi-finals, decides to choke slam Vincent Clair. Alan Rowland issues Sam a red card. Prior to that, he's only ever had one yellow card. What was the margin of victory for France?
Oh, I'll go for seven.
Seven?
I can't remember. I really can't remember the score.
So this was the semi-final of the 2011 World Cup in New Zealand. I think it was still very close. I think France did not play well at all, because this was when they had Livremont. I think the score was something like 2017 to France. So I'll say 3 points.
Wowza. 3 points difference. It was actually 1 point difference.
Was it really?
It was 8-9.
The final was like 8-9.
The final was 8-9, wasn't it?
Yeah, because we missed two kicks to win it.
Phil has got a total of two so far, because he guessed three and six.
Yeah, so it's like golf. You want the lowest score possible.
All right, so Phil's comfortably winning at the minute. Go on, next up.
Okay. This one happened in 2013 when Alessandro Tuilagi decided to take the head off rugby's very own Pat Butcher in Jan de Villiers. It was in the vaunted Quad Series games.
Oh, Samoa versus South Africa. Okay.
But what was that margin?
22 points.
I'm going to say...
I don't remember the game.
I seem to remember this being something like 70 points to 12. So I'm going to say 60 points.
Wow. 60 points for you, Phil?
Yeah.
Tim?
I said 22.
It was winning margin of 23 points.
Oh,
Tim, back in the game. Oh, he likes it now, doesn't he? He likes the game now.
Oh, my God.
So I'm on 7, and Phil, I've got to add 23 away from 60. It's 37.
Yeah, 37.
So you're on 39, and I'm on 7.
39 plays 7.
One more, then, the decider.
That was a bad tactic from me.
Yes, it was. I'll go with this one, because everyone can remember this one. Semi-final. No, sorry, quarter-final. It was Ulster.
Oh, we were robbed.
Yes.
Disgusting decision.
Versus...
Saracens.
Saracens.
Jared Payne.
Payne got robbed. But what was the score?
Do you want to go first? Or should I go first this time, Tim?
I think the points difference was 11 points.
11 points?
Is way less than that. It was still only 2 or 3. I'll say 3 points. I think it was something like 15-18.
It was 3 points difference.
Was it?
You get a 0.
So zero. You finished with 39 and I finished with 15.
15.
I won, and because a game I can't even remember, I just had a fluky guess at.
And I clearly can't remember. I thought I could remember it, but I clearly can't.
Oh, yes.
I can clearly remember 60 points in this one.
Right, there we go. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
We'll take a view on whether that one returns next week. No, I like. There's something in that, JB. There's something in that game. I like it. Right, listen, enjoy the rugby this weekend. Thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it. We do this for the love, well, because there is no money.
Yet.
Yeah, well...
Get us paid!
Thank you very much. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, iTunes, you can find us as well. And, enjoy the rugger. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
So what, in terms of your recovery for your shoulder, Phil, what's on?
4 weeks off work.
Oh, you lucky...
Yeah, which is... I'm going to...
That doesn't stop you from working, does it?
I'm going to end up working from home.
Okay.
A little bit. I'm signed off for 6 weeks.
Tube stations don't build themselves.
Yeah, I'm not going to take 6 weeks off. And then starting rehab from next week. It's pretty painful to move at the moment. Pretty uncomfortable to sleep. And it means that I have to do a schoolboy wee every time I want to go to the toilet.
Oh, great drinking game.
Putting my trousers around my ankles. Because I've only got one hand.
That is a good drinking game, actually. Right, we'll see you next time. Nice one, Phil. Nice one, JB.
Just
in a bit.
It's about to keep it in.
Oh, beautiful.
Cirque du Soleil.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.